Why all this excitement? And we think about a person, and that's Christ. How he was mindful of us. God being mindful of us, the one that created the stars, the moon, everything with his fingers, the work of his hands, the words of his mouth. The creator of the universe is mindful of us. And we're here tonight because of him. No doubt many of us are here tonight because we are simply a byproduct of God's wonderful grace. His wonderful, marvelous grace. His grace that made us, given us a name, given us time, and not only that, but his grace that's given us eternity through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Always reminded of when different days and events that if it weren't for God, none of us will be here tonight. He's the reason for not just the season, but he's the reason of our existence. The very reason why we're here tonight is because of him. And we can only sing and praise God, and we can testify about his goodness toward us. But why did he come? What's the significance of his birth? Why did God become a man? And so we're going to see that tonight. Isaiah prophesied about God's coming, about Christ, the Holy Anointed One, Jesus. The Bible references many names to Christ, but specifically in this verse, in verse 14 of Isaiah 7, it talks about a name called Emmanuel. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now Isaiah 9:6, a couple of chapters over, if you will. Isaiah 9:6, if we can get that up, the significance of the birth of Christ. Now, I've got this up because once again, we've got some verses that we'd like to get through, and saves us from turning into the scriptures. We could see these verses. If you want to note them down and refer to them later, if you want this presentation with all the verses on that, I can email that to you. But notice, if you look at Isaiah 9:6, have a look at that for a moment. Notice what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government or the ruling should be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, what's the first one there? Wonderful. Second one, Counselor. Third one, Mighty God. Fourth one, Eternal Father or Everlasting Father. And then lastly, the Prince of Peace. But notice the Mighty God and the Eternal Father. Wow, this is talking about how he will come and dwell among us, God with us. As a matter of fact, prophecy fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, beginning from verse 21, the Bible mentions, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, which what we just read, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, what is it? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We see also Paul writes to Timothy, reminding him about the significance, if you would, of God, of this mystery, if you'd like. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So again, we see here, Paul makes reference that Jesus, or God, if you'd like, manifested in the flesh. Now, why would God come to dwell among men? Well, first of all, we see to take away our sins. 1 John 3:5 mentions that Christ, or God, came in the flesh to take away our sin. Notice 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And note this phrase, and in him is no sin. It's talking about the Holy One of God, the Christ, Jesus Christ. He that became sin for us had no sin. It was perfect, Lamb of God. So first of all, we see to take away our sin. Second of all, in verse 8, we see, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might, what is it? Destroy the works of the devil. Now, that's the second reason why God came. First of all, to expose the lies of the devil. He's a liar from the beginning, and he wants to destroy the lives of men. He wants to distort the ways of God. He's on a mission, and no doubt we can honestly say, with how the world is really where it's heading, he's doing a good job. But God came to open up the eyes of the blind that have been blinded by the evil one. How many here are glad that their eyes have been opened by the gospel? Amen. This is why he came. Jesus Christ came to open up our eyes to see the lies of the devil. And not only that, but to destroy the works of the devil. And when he went on that cross, he crushed, if you would, his head. Because he was taking the payment for our sin. And so thirdly, we see that we may live. He did that. He died that through his death, we may live. Notice 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may, what's that word? Live through him. So these are three reasons that God manifested in the flesh. Number one, to take away our sin. Number two, to destroy the works of the devil. Number three, to give us life or life eternal. Now, we think about, you know, well, okay, we understand that he came to do these things, but why did it have to be done in such a way? Well, we see the result of sin. We want to notice the result of sin of mankind. We specifically understand that Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins, right? So we understand that, because sin brings a curse upon man. And we see right from the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, look at this phrase, thou shalt surely die. And we know and understand that he did partake from that. First of all, Eve was deceived. Who deceived Eve? The devil. The devil said, you know, hey, if you eat from that tree which gives you the knowledge of good and evil, you're not going to die. You won't surely die. See, once again, he's a liar. He's also distorted the word of God. And then Eve tempted Adam to eat, and Adam disobeyed. So Eve was deceived, but then Adam disobeyed. And because the disobedience of Adam, notice what Romans says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam, every single person in this world is born a sinner. Every single person that's born in this world is born in the flesh, and the flesh has the curse of death upon it. Because that was, if you would understand, God said, hey, Adam, the day that you eat from that tree, the curse will be upon you. And so the curse was upon Adam and everyone thereafter, and the curse is upon us. Judgment and death. But we see also the result of sin, the corrupted man. It's a separation from God. In the days of Noah, the Bible mentions the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Wow. All flesh. God saw that every person was corrupted, especially those that would not have a heart to simply acknowledge their corruption and turn to God. We see Isaiah 5:59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So we understand that sin brings forth a curse, which is death, but also it brings a separation from God, a relationship that's broken. But also we see, not only that, a closed door, no eternal life. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. The Garden of Eden symbolizes paradise, symbolizes eternal life, because in that garden was the tree of life. Notice Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us." There's the Trinity there, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and or take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. You say, why would God do that? Because remember, the curse of death is upon man. If man continued to remain in the garden, then he'll eat from that tree, he'll continue to live. But because of the curse, there had to be simply a closed door to that eternal life. So we see and understand now that sin brings forth death, sin brings a separation from God, and also it brings a closed door for eternal life. Every single one of us outside of Christ would have eternal death reigning in our bodies. Now let's see how this manifestation of Christ opens several doors for us. Now we understand that there's a door shut, but through Christ coming into the world, he opens these doors once again. So we see a door to escape judgment, death, and hell. In the days of Noah, you understand that God commanded Noah to build an ark. It took him 120 years to build that ark. And through that one door, there'll be salvation from the wrath of God to come. All right? So the whole earth, as the Bible declares it, the old earth, at that particular time, was going to be judged by a flood, and men had never seen rain come down before. As a matter of fact, the earth was simply nourished by the mist, if you would. But they have never seen rain like this before. And so when God would call a judgment by rain, Noah was mocked and laughed to scorn. You're wasting your life 120 years in the making, building this ark, and God would say, well, judgment is coming. And there would be one door to escape that judgment. And sure enough, we know that judgment came in that day and wiped out the face of man from the whole earth, except 8 people that went through that one door. But then we see that Jesus is our door today. Jesus, in Revelation 1:18, says this, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." So we have Christ, God, manifest in the flesh to die on a cross, to take our judgment, and now has the keys, if you would, that we would escape the judgment to come and the curse which is binding upon us, which is death. Isn't that amazing? I mean, why all the fuss? Honestly, why all this celebration? Why Christmas? Here's our first point. Our Savior, God, manifesting in the flesh to be with us, to go on a cross, an old rugged cross, to be judged for man so they won't die in their sin and go to hell. So through Christ, he has the keys because he paid for your fine. He paid for your sin and my sin. He took the penalty, if you would, the wages. For the wages of sin is death. Man, you work, you understand that when you work, you get paid, right? You get wages. And the Bible's saying that the wages or the payment for our sin is death. But yet Christ, who knew no sin, died for us, and now has the key that through him we can escape death and hell. But we see another, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's another door open. So through his death, he opens another door, and it's eternal life. Remember the door that was closed? The Garden of Eden, the Tree of Life, kicked out, see you later. Well, here it is. The door is opened once again through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice 1 John 4:9. This is going back to our main verse, right? What we saw in the beginning, the reason why he came. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, this is motivated by love. This is God's unconditional love for us. You know why so many people miss out on eternal life? Because they've missed, or I can say they've rejected the love of God in their life. And therefore, they've just put aside the gift of eternal life, and now they're going to be dying in their sin and going to eternal hell. You know, it's against God's will that anyone in this room will perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that you take this gift, this eternal life through Jesus Christ, and you, motivated by love, of course, and the Bible says that we didn't love him, but he first loved us. So in other words, when you see what Christ did for us, that ought to be the motivation for us to call upon God and ask him for that. Say, God, you know, I don't even deserve this. I don't deserve what you have given me. First of all, life, and now eternal life. After all that I've turned my back on you, I'm born a sinner. I don't want to seek you. I don't even have a heart to love you. I don't even have a heart to even talk to you. I'm born in iniquity. I'm born to do wrong. Do you ever get that? Do you ever find it so hard to do good and so easy to do bad? So easy to do wrong, isn't it? But when you want to do good, it takes an effort. Like, you have to keep trying. Did you know that God doesn't have to try to do good? He is good. God is good. But we have to try to do good. We have to make an effort. But yet, it's because of sin reigning in our bodies. And because of sin, we have death. And without Christ, we'll have eternal death. But Christ opened the door that we don't have to die in our sin, but we can have eternal life through him. But notice another door. I think this is probably one of the best doors to the Christian life. Seriously. Can I just say this tonight? God is not just a ticket out of hell. If you just come to God, that's all you're just wanting, you know, just a ticket out of hell, then that's just... I'm not saying that God doesn't want to deliver us from death and hell. He does. But there is a relationship that God wants to reconcile. And through Jesus Christ, he's opened the door to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know what that signifies? A reconciled relationship. Did you know when we're saved, God, when we're saved through Jesus Christ, we're reconciled to God again? You know, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you know what's happening? That relationship is being reconciled. He'll become your Father. I mean, we're talking about the God of this universe wants to become your dad. There's a relationship there, and it's more than just getting a tick out of hell, but it's a relationship with God. And this is why we say Christianity is far more than just religion, because Christianity is a relationship with God. When we say to people, have you received Christ as your own personal Savior? You know what we're saying? Do you have a relationship with God? Personally, did you trust Christ? Did you talk to God the Father, asking God to come into your life and to save you? Because He's saving us from death and hell, but then he's reconciling a relationship that had been broken because of sin. And I believe this is the best part of the Christian life. That the Spirit of God, that when we're born from above, lives within us, and that we can cry out, Abba, Father, we can call Him Daddy. It's amazing. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, look at what John says about this. 1 John 3:1, behold. I mean, we have a man here just like you and me, really seeing the significance of Christ's birth and what God came to do when He dwelt among us. And it was to reconcile relationship here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not us, because it knew Him not. And He's saying, this is love that God has demonstrated toward us, that we would even be called God's children. That's amazing. The Creator of the universe wants to be your Father. He wants to father you. And we see another door open, a door to find pasture. We see that there is more than just, if you would, a title. There's more than just a father and a son title. There's more than that. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be, what's that word? Saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what God wants to do after you're saved? He wants to sustain you. He wants to grow you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to bring you along. In other words, He wants to bless you abundantly in this life while you wait to be with your Heavenly Father in the next. So in other words, it's not just getting saved and having a title and waiting for it, but God wants to do a marvelous work in your life as you live today. He wants you to go in and out, find pasture. He wants you to spiritually grow. He wants you to continue to taste and see that the Lord is good, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And this is why God came. I mean, you just have to see God the Son with God the Father all the way through, in which people don't understand. And our mind, even as Christians, can't completely understand. But we see a perfect example of God the Son, God the Father having a relationship. And He was being an example. How God wants us to live when we are His children, when we've come to that point and we've trusted Him as our Savior. He wants us now to live by His word. No man lives on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, as the children of God, He wants us to walk in this world, growing, finding pasture, being sustained, finding comfort in Him. And He gives us the Comforter, praise God for that, to comfort us through His word. We see Matthew 6:25, notice what He says, therefore Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. Look at this phrase. He says, is not life more than meat? I mean, come on. He says, isn't your life more than just eating? Than your body, than raiment or clothes? I mean, there's got to be more than life than just eating, right? It's got to be more than life than just putting clothes on. So it's got to be more than life than just working, eating, sleeping, waking up and doing the whole thing again. But there is. And it's called the abundant life through Christ. Notice what Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, what's that word? More abundantly. God wants to give you an abundant life. Not the straight away we think prosperity. It's not the prosperity gospel. God wants to give us a life that is in Him, that is like Him. It's called a Christ-like life. And this is what Paul said. He said, I count all things but dung. Why? So he may win him, that he may win Christ, and that he would know his share with his sufferings and know the power of his resurrection. What it means to live a victorious life here on earth. And he says, you know, if I do one thing, this is what I do. I look at Christ. My eyes are upon God, the one that is able to save us, sustain us, and make us into the image of his dear Son. And so we see, what must we do to have this? If you haven't had this, wonderful gift from God, which is eternal life, being a child of God. We have to repent and receive Christ by faith. Notice what it says in John 1:10-13. Talking about Jesus, it says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Wow. And we're talking about the Creator that made the world, and the world knew him not. And then it says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become the what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can I ask you a question? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? Because the Bible says if you have, then he will make you his own. Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And notice this. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know what? God just doesn't want to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. Man, he just wants to cleanse you. And he came to forgive you. He died for you. But it's not enough just knowing about the door. It's not enough just knowing that through that door, if I could have life eternal. Through that door, I can have a relationship with Christ. It's not enough just knowing about it. What do I have to do? I have to walk in by faith. How do you do that? Well, you just simply trust the Lord to save you. If we come into the door, it's coming in by faith, not by works. The Bible says we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But it's no good to me just to know that the door exists. It's no good. James chapter 2, James talks about, thou believest that there's one God? Thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. It's not enough just knowing that God exists, and it's not enough just knowing that Jesus can save me. I have to ask him to save me. And it's imperative that we do that. So why? Because one day, listen, please understand this. One day, the door's going to shut. And it's going to be too late. But I beseech you, don't let it be too late for you. There's still time. There's still time. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and there's still time. How much time? I really don't know. But we're close. We're very close. You know, in the days of Noah, the Bible says there in Genesis 7:15, and they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, all of the flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord was, and the Lord shut him in. You know, so at the end of the day, when they went into that ark, the Lord shut the door. And there's going to be a door that's going to be shut, but now it's open. And Jesus came as the Lamb of God, but let me just say, he's going to come as the Lion of Judah. In other words, listen, please don't miss this. Yes, he's a loving God, but he's a just God. And he's going to deal with sin, and he has to do it. But I really believe when he deals with it, he's going to deal with it with a broken heart. He doesn't want, God is not pleased, or God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But you can't push people through the door. God doesn't want to push you through the door. God doesn't want to force you to love him. God wants you freely to receive him by faith. In other words, let me just say this. God wants you to appreciate him. God wants you to be thankful for giving your life and now giving you a hope of eternal life. God is just looking for someone that is thankful and that would just say, thank you, dear God. I'm not worthy of you, but just cry out, but I need your salvation. And that's faith. Just to cry out to God saying, God, I love you. And I love you because I see your love for me and I want to receive it. Please, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so God wants to save you. You have to respond by calling, and I beg you, please, don't let it be too late. Because one day, that door's going to be shut. Have you heard about the parable about the 10 virgins? 5 of them were wise, 5 of them, the Bible says, were foolish. The foolish virgins were the ones that weren't prepared. In other words, they did not believe, if you would, they weren't believers, it was too late. And the Bible says in Matthew 25:10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to marriage. And what's that phrase there? And the door was shut. He shut. The door was closed. But then afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. He says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So we see that Christ came into the world. He died, and then he rose again the third day, was taken up into the glory, and then he's coming again. And let me just say, if Christ comes tonight, will you be ready? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You know, the whole point of salvation is to have God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the whole point of salvation. Can I just say this? Do you have God with you? Do you know him? Does he know you? Has there been a time in your life that you've cried out to God through Jesus Christ and you have a relationship? If you don't, I beg you tonight, don't let it be too late, because that door is going to be shut. When? I don't know. But we have to be ready. Ready to go through the door so we can escape the judgment to come. To go through that door to receive Christ is to simply receive his grace upon us. And to go through that door is to have eternal life. To go through that door is to have that relationship with God restored.
And to go through that door is to continue to grow in Christ while we wait for his coming. What a blessing Christmas is. It reminds us of God with us. God that came to dwell among men and that he showed his love toward us. You know, God can't show any more. What does God have to do to get your attention here today? God showed, or he demonstrated his love toward us, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you and he wants you to come, but he can't force you. So I beseech you tonight, if you haven't yet trusted Christ as your Savior, come. And can I say this to you, Christian? If you have, rejoice. Rejoice and remember, give thanks to the Holy One of God. Rejoice. Let your heart dance and weep before the Lord and thank him and praise him for his good. Don't take his love for granted. Because it's the will of God that we give thanks to God. It's the will of God that we praise him for his dear son and for what he's done. That's the will of God. Don't take it for granted, I beg you. The significance of the birth of Christ is to have God with us. Because without God, my friends, tonight, we are nothing. And we'll have nothing. And we'll be nothing. But in Christ, we are complete and we are royalty. So tonight, I want to say, Jesus is the reason for the season, but is also the reason why we have not a door that is open for us to walk in. And I beg you, that door is Christ. And don't delay. I beg you with all my heart. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.